Good day and welcome to the Redefine International Analyst and Investor Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Mike Waters. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, and good morning to everybody to our conference call. I'm joined this morning by our senior management team, Stephen Oakenfull and Adrian Horsburgh. And between the three of us today, we hope to take you through the highlights of the acquisition of the Aegon UK portfolio. The deal is the culmination of a strategic process to sell down non-core assets and recycle capital into a quality portfolio. The proceeds of the sale and the largely unutilized March capital raise have been put to very good use. The overall quality and focus of our portfolio is improved, whilst the scale of the business is enhanced. We have considered a number of potential targets over the last 6 months, but all were at prices that we believed were above sensible value. The transaction with Aegon is one that works for both parties and has been split into two tranches, three if we include Banbury as the first stage, and this has been done at the vendor's request. In terms of the forward financial impact, the net initial yield is in line with our cost of capital, but we believe that the growth in the portfolio will be stronger than the growth we have in our existing portfolio. Hence, we are deeming it to be a transformational deal, both in size, scale, and quality. Furthermore, the investment of our large cash balance will remove the cash drag on earnings that we've had for the past 6 months. And with that, I include the sale of our non-core investment in Cromwell, which will be converted very quickly into a new investment product. To talk about the property portfolio that we've acquired and to give some background to the deal, I'm going to hand you over now to Adrian Horsburgh to talk you through it. Adrian.
Thank you, Mike. Well, as an income fund, we're keen to acquire the best quality buildings in the best locations that we can possibly afford. This will give us the greatest chance of maintaining long-term income and achieving rental and capital growth. In addition, the better the quality, then the more defensive the portfolio, with a lesser reliance upon the cost and availability of debt in the pricing. And we believe this portfolio achieves these aims. In terms of the spread of the equity placement into growth locations, London represents around 37% of the entire equity spent, the South East 23%, and the big six locations, that's Leeds, Manchester and Edinburgh, just over 15%. So over 75% of the equity placed is into London, the South East and the big six locations. With regard to the retail, prior to purchase we carried out an extensive tenant audit which indicated strong trading in the retail assets, with a number of tenants seeking to expand and renewal negotiations underway on current expiries. This fact was critical, and we would not have pursued the portfolio without this knowledge. Now, there are a number of short-term and medium-term initiatives, and we haven't time here, I think, to go through all of them, but I'll just point to one or two of the highlights. Grosvenor Street, an absolutely prime building in the heart of the West End. The plan here is, in fact, to refurbish the building, let it, and create a high-quality asset with international investor demand and high liquidity. However, at the moment there is extremely strong demand for this type of product, and we're going to market the building straight away and see if we can get a premium price from an owner-occupier. The price on the way in is circa £2,000 a foot, and there's evidence in the locality between £2,000 and £3,000 a foot in owner-occupier deals. Charing Cross, the other big London investment, represents a huge opportunity, with Crossrail and Centrepoint immediately next door to the site. The average passing rents within the building are £40 a foot, and recent activity has been reported in the property press at £70 to £90 a foot in the locality. So there's a huge opportunity in the short to medium term here. With regard to the rest of the offices in the big six and southeast locations, typically market yields in these locations are 5.5% to 6.5%, with Manchester having achieved sub 5% on a number of occasions recently. Our yield post-contracted rent freeze and post-lettings of vacant space will be 7.75% to 8%, so very attractive in the current climate. The industrial portfolio represents an area where there is very limited new supply in the U.K. And Crawley, for example, there is one empty unit, and discussions are underway already at a letting at in excess of the purchase ERV. Average rents within this property are £8 a foot, with the airport now achieving £10 to £12 a foot. Turning to the retail parks, I mentioned that we undertook a very extensive tenant audit, and the results are very promising. We've got renewal negotiations underway on all the space where the leases have expired, and there are a number of the properties where we can see great rental differential that we think we'll be able to take advantage of. With regard to the high street properties, the Hull property, which is a long lease to House of Fraser, a rent review was concluded during the due diligence process where the rent increased, so that's very encouraging. And the block in Derby, which is a small part of the portfolio, but has been acquired at £3.5 million, was once valued at £27 million. This is the busiest pitch outside of the shopping centre, and we see huge opportunity here to move the rents. If we can get 30 to 50% of the rents that we're passing, the profit potential of this property is really quite impressive. So it's a very nice mix of stock with a high percentage of the equity going into the high growth locations, and then of the balance there's some really exciting short and medium term asset management angles to drive growth. Thank you. I'll pass you over to Stephen.
Thank you, Adrian. I'll just touch briefly on the transaction structure and the banking facility that we've secured. I think, first of all, given that there is a split completion timeline here, it's important to understand the structure, and in particular that it is fully funded day one. So the company has the option to utilize the Redefined Properties loan and convert that to a 50% share in the transaction entirely at the company's election. But it is our intention to own 100%. But just to be clear, we have full optionality in terms of raising additional equity, and that will be assessed on market conditions at the time and obviously being in the best interest of shareholders. Tranche 1 is being funded with a £155 million term loan, which is part of the overall £303 million facility, as well as existing equity, which includes the sale of Cromwell that Mike referred to earlier. Tranche 2 will utilise the revolving credit facility of up to £148 million, and new equity, which may come through a combination of new capital sales or the Redefined Properties loan, as I mentioned earlier. In terms of the bank funding, I think, again, this is also transformational in terms of the company's progress. We've secured a £303 million facility from Barclays, Santander, RBS and HSBC, all contributing an equal amount. £155 million of that is a term loan for a period of 5 years, and £148 million a revolving credit facility, also available for a term of 5 years. We're expecting to fund the transaction post-completion of Tranche 2 between 50 to 55% loan-to-value, and the facility provides for a ratcheted margin, which is subject to the LTV prevailing at the time. But at the levels I've just referred to, we're expecting the margin to be at about 1.9%, and the all-in cost will be referenced to possibly a five-year swap rate, depending on where the hedging settles, but five-year swap rates are currently a shade under 1.5%. I think overall this accelerates the potential for the company to move forward with its unsecured debt options and broaden the sources of funding available to the group.
Thank you, Stephen. Thank you, Adrian. We now open the lines for questions.
Thank you. If anyone would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that your mute function on your phone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We can pause now for just a moment to allow everyone's signal. We can now take our first question from Mark Kartlick from Sanlam. Please go ahead, sir. Your line is open.
Morning, gentlemen. Adrian, just wanted to have if you clarify actually how you got the yield or the yield you talked about there post-rent freeze, et cetera, of 7.35 to 8%, I think you said. Was that referring to the entire portfolio, or are you taking out Grosvenor Street and various other parts of the portfolio?
Sure. It was 7.75 to 8%, and that's just...
7.75.
That's okay. That's just the Big Six and the South East, but as you rightly say, it excludes the London properties. So that's just offices in Leeds, Manchester, Reigate, and Edinburgh.
Okay. And that's just the offices, so that excludes all the retail. Okay.
Yeah, just those offices, yeah. Yeah.
And can you split the retail? Oh, we have that actually in the table, don't we? So, okay.
Yeah.
All right, thank you very much.
I think, Mark, just a quick point there. The yields in the tables refer to the values assuming standard purchases costs of 5.8%, whereas the transaction,
yeah,
the actual transaction costs are well below 4.5%.
Okay, I see. Right, thank you.
Thank you. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. We can now take our next question from Michael Swingler from Oasis. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Just on the split in the two tranches, what is the rationale behind that, the two tranches?
Morning, Michael. Stephen here. The rationale was very much to support the vendor's requirements. So I think we've shown great flexibility in structuring the deal, which has helped us to enable to secure it. But the vendor was looking for a split completion to allow them to phase the reinvestment of the proceeds.
And then just to follow up, your 5-year term loan, what would the all-in cost be, the total cost percentage on the 5-year term loan?
Term loan. Michael, we haven't hedged it yet because we haven't drawn down on the debt, but the margin we anticipate to be at about 1.9%, and currently 5-year swap rates are 1.5%. So you're looking at about, as at today's rate, if we hedge the full amount, about 3.4%.
And then just lastly, what is the risk here that you could be overpaying at this stage of the cycle in the UK and specifically the London market?
Michael, I think it's clear that the cycle is relatively well advanced, but I think as Adrian set out very clearly, I think we've got a price that we are happy with. And I think importantly, looking at the portfolio, it puts us in a far better position in terms of rental growth prospects, and I think that's what most people see as the next phase of the cycle. I also think, in terms of the quality of the assets, it probably puts us in an overall position in a more defensive position than sort of assets that would be higher yielding and are typically more priced on a sort of a term and covenant basis. So, I think if we look at the deal in the round in terms of what it does for the overall portfolio, I think the price is fair and puts us into a good position for future growth.
Michael, if I could just comment on that. As I said yes, in the introduction, we've bid on a number of portfolios where the final pricing has got to levels which we believe to be nonsensical in that it's just above our cost of capital and it's above the returns that we would expect. Having looked at this portfolio, it's not cheap, but it is quality, and if you look at the internal rate of return relative to our cost of capital, it is accretive to us, and that's the basis on which we've done it. We'll know in 5 years' time whether we've paid too much or too little.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We can now take our next question from Sam Warwood from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Morning, guys. I just wanted to follow up on that, the question of how the yield on those offices properties is going to improve to the 7.75 to 8%. What's the vacancy at the moment in those office assets?
Sure. Okay. Well, the Leeds one and the Manchester one have both got an empty floor, as has the Edinburgh one, and Reigate similarly has got an empty floor. The spread is because two things. One, from the initial yield when the rent freeze have burnt off, the yield obviously rises then, so that's contracted income that's not yet at its full rate. Then, with empty property in the UK, obviously we're carrying the rates, service charge and insurance, which is a heavy cost on these buildings, so there's a big income drag on the NOI as a result of the space being empty. When we let it, that income drag disappears, and of course the ERV arrives. So there's a not quite a double positive, but it's a 1.5 to 1.7 positive every time you let some space in one of these buildings. And it's that that is the driver of the yield change.
But sorry, how much is that vacancy as a percentage of the space of these buildings?
Oh, okay, sorry. Okay, in Manchester we've got one floor out of four floors or thereabouts, about the same in Leeds. In Reigate it's one floor out of three floors, and it's about the same in Edinburgh. So, you know, 20 to 30%, I suppose.
Okay, no, that's helpful. Thanks, Gus.
Okay.
Thank you. As a further reminder, please press star 1 if you would like to ask a question. We can now take our next question from Anton de Goude from Coronation. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gents. Just a few questions from our side. The first being on the asset management agreement that you've got with the vendor. If you can just elaborate on that, and how quickly will you try to give to exercise the option to stop the contract? If you can answer that first, please.
Yeah, sure, Anton. Obviously, this is a large portfolio. We need resources to manage the portfolio, and we've agreed with Claims Capital, the current managers of the portfolio, to manage it for us for a period. The period is 3 years, but there is the option to terminate that after 12 months with a six-month notice period. Obviously, at this stage, we've made no decisions as to what we're going to do, but if and when we do take over the portfolio, we'll have to ensure that we've got the right resources in place.
In terms of the sale of your Cromwell stake, you rightly said you've always seen it as non-strategic, but you sold it when the Australian dollar is quite weak versus the pound. So if you can just talk about that rationale and the additional cash that you're actually getting out of that transaction versus perhaps additional funding and perhaps the benefit of the Australian dollar strengthening over the next year or two against the pound.
Anton, we were caught in a squeeze because obviously we had to hold our 9.9% in Cromwell for at least 12 months to ensure that we escaped any capital gains tax. Now, we did very well in Australian dollar terms, so there was capital gains tax payable. The Australian dollar has been hit like all emerging market currencies, mining currencies, if I could call it that, to the extent that it has depreciated. You will recall that we had debt against it, which was a self-balancing mechanism because obviously it was Australian dollar denominated debt. We have been unfortunate. We bought the Australian dollar well, and unfortunately at this stage, because of having to wait for the capital gains tax issue, we've suffered because of that. However, if you have a look at the earnings side, you will recall that we fixed our 12-month earnings a year ago at a very favourable Australian dollar rate, and going forward, the earnings would have now been crystallised at the lower Australian rate, which would have been even worse if we'd held on, because there's nothing to say that the Australian dollar is going to strengthen. It could weaken even further. So we've taken a decision. We said we'd hold it for 12 months. We've held it for 12 months. We've sold it. We've crystallised the loss, and we're reinvesting it in a quality focused portfolio. You can't always get everything 100% correct.
Alright, okay, and then just one final question. If the £135 million being offered by Redefine as a loan for those 3 months, if you can't wait come March next year, what terms will that loan be on?
It's a short term loan because we are really saying that we'll do one of two things. Either we'll have our own equity, or the equity, we'll give our 50% of the equity to Redefine. So the short-term loan is at a 6% interest rate, but we don't see the loan really being in place at all, or indeed for more than a month or so. That's why it's only a short-term loan. So to the extent that we are not comfortable to either raise equity or to raise capital in other means, be it further property sales or other instruments, we would then do a 50-50 joint venture with Redefine. So the loan is just a short-term measure.
All right, fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We can now take a further question from Greg Rollins from Rateway Global. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mark and team. You mentioned that Kames is going to do the asset management and the contract goes on for 12 months and a six-month notice period. Does that imply that the minimum or the minimum period that they could manage it is 18 months? But whatever that the duration is, how are you going to drive these changes and enhancements if Kames is really the direct manager of the portfolio?
Greg, hi, it's Stephen here. Your analysis of the 18-month minimum period is correct. I think we need to be very clear. We're just using Kames as a resource here. So as Mike said, this is a big portfolio that requires a lot of management attention. So I think we're getting the benefit of their experience on the portfolio. They have no authority whatsoever in terms of strategic direction and asset management views. That sits entirely with us. So we will be as hands-on as we would always be with our portfolio. It's just the fact that we are utilizing their resource, which we are very impressed by and are a very experienced team. So I think from that point of view, it will be a benefit. But you know, your question around strategic input, that all sits with Redefine.
Thank you.
Thank you. As a final reminder, please press star 1 to ask a question. At the moment, we have no further questions in the queue. I'd like to turn the call back over to you. We do have a follow-up question if you'd like to take it, gentlemen.
Yes.
Our next question is from Marcus Freymudge from BM Global Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Morning, chaps. Quick question on Banbury. Could you just walk us through the rationale behind this? I mean, the rents have been dropping on this park for some time. You guys feel you're getting in kind of at a new rebased lower rental level, and also is there a rental guarantee on how you're dealing with the vacancy on that one? Thank you.
No, Mark, you're absolutely, it's Adrian. Sorry, good morning.
Hi, Adrian.
Hi. You're actually right. It has suffered in two reasons. One's that in that all retailers, you know, have the structural change stresses and strains, and then there's the Gateway Retail Park, which is a new, for those who don't know, is a new open A1 retail park, which is about 3 or 4 minutes drive away, I guess. We do think, you know, you're absolutely right, the rents have dropped, and we think we're, you know, there's perhaps one or two yet to come, but we are a long way through that decline. The thing that really, I suppose, swung it for us on that property is that the tenant audit, at the level of rents that the tenants are paying, is very positive. And, you know, that's a more interesting and useful guide to how a property is doing than looking at rents in one location or another location. The key to, of course, as we all know, rents the residual of the economic activity, and if you understand the economic activity, then the rents all become clear. So I think we're pretty comfortable in the economic activity of the park and where it sits set against those rents. The other thing that's was very helpful, that we've got you know, a couple of expiries in hand at the moment, and the tenants have all served, bar one, have all served intentions to renew. And one of those has just been agreed, and it's at ahead of our ERV. So it's the combination of those facts, I think, make us feel that this is an asset that's taken a beating. Whether we're, you know, it's impossible to judge if you're right at the bottom of the curve on it or whether you're just before it or just after it. It's absolutely impossible to call. In 5 years' time, I guess we'll find out. But it does feel, every time we went there 3 or 4 times, both at the weekend and during the week to take a look at the thing, spoke to shoppers, spoke to retailers, and, you know, the results gave us the right sort of warm feeling. In addition, next door to it, or very sort of close next door, there's a proposal for a new Waitrose to go in. So this really is, you know, got a very strong, you know, magnet of retail activity in this locality. Does that help?
That does. Thank you very much. And just final question, apologies if it's somewhere in here. Who did you buy it from?
Aegon UK Fund.
They're Aegon as well, is it? That Banbury as well.
The same deal. We just sliced it into three tranches.
Oh, okay. Sorry, so it wasn't a separate buyer, a seller. Okay, right. Thank you.
But sorry, we just point out that Banbury is unconditional. We've taken ownership of it, whereas the other two tranches are subject to shareholder approval.
Ah, okay. That's where I was getting the separation from. Okay, thank you.
Sorry, Marcus. One last, it's Adrian again. I mean, one last point. I mean, while I said we wouldn't focus on the rents, but just on the economic activity, which I think is the right thing to do, and we always do with retail, but on the gateway scheme, they're achieving, you know, rent starting with a 40 quid or so. The last two have gone through at that. And, you know, our average rent is in the very low 20s, 22, 23, 24. So I know they're different products. We've got part open A1 and part bulky. They're all open A1. But, you know, it does lead us to think that, on the, you know, in rental gradient terms, we're at about the right sort of spot. And, you know, there are one or two retailers out there that we've been chatting to who would like to get onto the park. Quite how we accommodate them at the moment, I don't know. But, well, you know, there's, I think there is, we're cautiously optimistic that one's got some quite good opportunity to come.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. A final reminder, please press star 1 if you'd like to ask a question. We have now no further questions in the queue. I'd like to turn the call back over to you for any additional comments, gentlemen.
Nothing further from us. Thank you for attending the call today.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.